Hello! You are listening to Talking Utter Slop, the podcast about having fun with toy cars. I'm Scott.
And I'm not. I'm Nick. And it's sunny. And it's feeling spring-like, Scott.
Spring's in the air.
And, what's you know, put a spring in your step this week?
Well,
it's like the one show.
Moving on to slot cars. No, the listeners, regular listeners, I should say, will remember from maybe 2 or 3 months ago, we launched a quest, a noble, adventure for young men to prove themselves and old men to cling on to life. Something like that. Okay. Anyway, the background is I had just bought and been delighted with a yellow and black DeWalt sponsored SCX Morgan GT1 car. And I was waxing lyrical about it. And you said, there's a really rather lovely green and gold livery of the same car. So I was immediately plunged from the happiness and contentment of a man who's got what he thought he wanted into the deep longing and unfulfilled state that is the man who knows there's a slot car he wants but he hasn't got. And at the time I looked, and these things were very rare and quite expensive on the B of E. And anyway, not to be undone, I was every now and again I would type in a search, as I did about 10 days ago, and one was there, and it hadn't gone up to a ridiculous price. Anyway, I put in a bid, thinking I must remember to come back to it, which was even more remarkable because I remembered, because it was a Sunday night and I was down the pub in the middle of the pub quiz. So me looking at my phone was not necessarily the best thing to do. However, I remembered to do it. And the long story short is I put in ever bigger bids thinking I don't want to get gazumped. And I won it. And it didn't cost me that much. It was actually a bargain. A bargain for me. Apologies to Dave who sold it to me. But it's come to a good home, Dave. It's much cherished. So the search for the Green Morgan, Peter Jackson's newest epic trilogy, can now have a conclusion, which is that I have got, and I'm holding it at the webcam, so hopefully those who are watching on the Tube of You can see it. For those of you who are listening, it's a green and gold Morgan. It's the least likely modern GT car, I think, because we're talking late 90s, early noughties, when it was, you know, McLarens and Ferraris and Corvettes and all things swoopy and pointy. And to have a British car with cycle fenders, albeit flared in, I think still with a wood chassis, I'm not sure. However, it's wonderfully silly. It's what Le Mans really should be all about. And I love it. I'm really glad to have it. So there you go. not to spoil the surprise, having been delighted, and I told you about this earlier, you suggest the search may not be fully over.
Well, I don't know if they ever made it, but certainly that was a team of two Morgans, and one of them was driven by Jean-Jacques Lafitte, the somewhat heroic, long-haired French driver of primarily Ligiers in much of his career. I assumed SCX would have made that one, and you just checked the roof and there is no Jean-Jacques. Is there one? Is it the rare one? Like the rare number 34 Ninco Golf McLaren, which seems to outnumber the less rare number 33. Yes.
It could be. So maybe in true magical quest style, there needs to be two Green Morgans that you have to bring together in order to bring balance to the universe and protect slotting from disappearing. Anyway, so that's what floated my boat this week. And as a result, my still not behind me days since slot car sign would technically be at one because it arrived yesterday. It's not troubling the double digits. Anyway, what about you?
My slotting world is still on hold. My mother got ill just after New Year and she died last month. So I've got an awful lot of family stuff to be doing and we've got a funeral to plan and all the rest of it. So it's all sort of on hold, which is why last time I was completely thrown as to when the date of the Oxford Slot Rally was. The Oxford Slot Rally has now happened without me in it. And we do have some results. So let's have a quick run through the top three in each class. This is round two of six of this year's revived Slot Rally GB, supported by Staff Slot Cars. Now, here's a staff story before we get onto all that. Don't know if you've seen lovely Steve, world's biggest Hyundai Motorsport fan. There is one. It's Steve. When I was working with the team, nearly 10 years ago, I had to get all the autograph cards for him. So I did manage to get a complete set of all the drivers up to 2016, I think, for Steve, for his collection of Hyundai memorabilia. But he does make very fine wheels, which, as you know, you have to sort of... you got staffs on there. And it's the special stuff. And
special stuff. Don't mind the shit.
Well, Steve put a note on the socials saying, what style of wheel should we do next? And I said, what about the six boat speed lines that used to go on Subarus, if that's not enough alliteration? And sure enough, we have six spoke Subaru wheels by Speedline, made by Staffs.
I see the Dutch Sean Connery has made
these. He spent 6 months in Mumbai and picked up a bit of the accent from there too. But anyway, you can now get in whatever anodized colour you want, very round, very fast, six spoke Speedline wheels, which I suggested because obviously Scale Electric has come out with a new Colin McRae 1995 car, and probably lots of people are going to want to put 3D chassis and hot motors and will want wheels for it. But I haven't seen any on a Subaru yet. I've only seen one on SRC Peugeot, which they still look rather fetching.
It's early days, I suppose, for the Subaru. I mean, it's just a reminder that all slot cars cost 90 quid. You know, even if it's a 50 quid car, you have to spend 40 quid on a chassis and wheels and tyres. Only if you're a speed crazed demon, obviously.
Obviously.
But going back to round two of Slot Rally GB.
And it was sort of no change. Although there were some really nice tracks that were put together. First time Oxford has held a rally. There was some fairly intricate work been done there.
I've been to a rally at Oxford.
Never.
Years ago. But
never.
Yes.
In the gloom of the Ramsden Hall.
it was very moody. Let's call it that. It was moody.
Fog lights on. And so that means the sort of fairly static top order in terms of people's car choices. First place was Wayne Goble. First time Wayne's appeared on the current championship, a mainstay of the old championship, and he won Classic with his Scaliotto De Tomaso Pantera. And he was just 1.06 seconds ahead of the identical model pedalled by Gareth Jones. So Gareth finished first and second so far in the opening two rounds in Classic, but was beaten by 1.06 seconds over seven stages. Not bad. And then Mr. Underwood, that John Underwood, was third with his SRC Porsche 914, which I really hope is wearing the body he bought from me at Swindon, because I made a white kit, did it as the 1970 RAC rally car, because there are actually very few Porsche 914 rallies that can be counted and made into rally cars. And given the number of Porsche 914s that now fill the Classic section of slot rallies, I hope that a non-standard livery was appearing. Anyway, so, at the top, 914s and Panteras, and you have to go down a bit and find the team slot Alpines and SCX, Fiat 131s and all the other sort of interesting cars that can take part in Classic.
Good stuff. As you were reading that out, my mind went off on one, as it's prone to do, because at the mention of John Underwood, Because John turns up to every slot car competition known to... In fact, I'm slightly surprised sometimes when I'm out in the garage that I don't get a knock on the door and he's there. But anyway, I think in the style of, you know, wrestling and snooker and darts and all that sort of thing, because he is at every event, almost every event, I think he needs to go by the name of John Ubiquitous Underwood. And you know, he therefore needs a theme tune. So as I thought, I can just imagine the next rounds of the championship, you will have the drivers waiting sort of off stage, as it were, and they'll be introduced by some slightly manic MC, and you know, various
that just
pieces.
Reminds
of,
me of Red Dwarf when Dave Lister was playing pool, and he said, "Yeah, they call me Dave Cinzano Bianco Lister because once you get me on the table, you can never get me off."
Okay, yeah, I'm not sure I fully understand what that means, but you can explain to me later. Anyway, so I think from now on, at each round of the Slot Rally Championship, drivers have to be introduced, and it's compulsory, as well as having a co-driver in the car, that they've got to have a walk-on tune, as well as a middle name. So... which must be submitted in advance to allow the organisers sufficient time to download it from Spotify. So John, if you're listening, and he travels so much, he must listen to us, because, you know, what else would he do in the car? what would John Ubiquitous...
there's such a thing everywhere called music.
Here, there, everywhere, I suppose. It's not really rousing, but, you know.
Moving on to my silliness. Moving on to 80s, 90s, guess what? It was the same three. Top three drivers. Gareth Jones was first for the second time in two events with his SRC Lancia Delta S4. Followed by that John Underwood with his SRC Peugeot 205. Followed by the Wayne Goble with his MSC Subaru Impreza, also available from Scali Auto. Phil Barry was third with his Avant Ferrari. And then there's an awful lot of SRC/OSCs, and Phil also had his slot at Mercedes, which he has, I believe, rebodied from the stock DTM body that comes with the car to the Hobby Classic lightweight resin Group A car.
I can imagine he would. So the an early pattern has emerged, shall we call it that?
Yes.
Of if you want to do well, you need to be called Graham and run a car which comes from a manufacturer with three initials.
Yes.
That's it, basically.
That's the clearly
recipe for success.
Cruising for a bruising with my selection. Yeah.
Well, you could always
your middle C parts in them, so that should, you know.
Well, you could change your middle name, could be Graham, so it could be Nick the Graham Garten. Just, ooh, you know, it sort of sounds okay.
Yeah, sort of.
Yeah.
No, do you want the modern top three? Should we have a modern top three?
Go on then.
Only two of the top three drivers from the other two classes finished in the top three, but they managed to fill the top three because that man, Gareth Jones, won again in his, or with his, not in it.
Scale Auto. You've got to be able to get in the car.
It's not legal unless you can sit in it and drive it home. No. Yeah. Scale Auto, Pug 208 even, which is a Rally 2 car, Rally 5 car, R5, Super 2000, who knows? It's a Peugeot. And it's modern. So that's nice. And it's actually a rally car. Meanwhile, John Underwood has gone to his Le Mans box, pulled out an NSR Porsche 997 and put a co-driver in it. And he finished second. I'm teasing. I know that there are rally liveries available for the NSR Porsche 997. And I'm sure that they make great rally cars. Then Gareth Jones was third. But guess what? Listener. He finished
third. Tell me.
With an SCX Ford Puma. Now.
Wow. Are you going to spoil it now? Are you going to say it's not really?
I'm not going to spoil it because I don't know for a fact. I wasn't there. It says SCX Ford Puma, but it may well, if you actually put the detailed spec sheet down, say SCX with a Hobby Classic chassis and lots of SRC bits in it to make it go quickly, and staff's wheels. But it just says SCX Ford Puma, which I think is, you know, nice just for the toy manufacturers there to get a foot in. Lots of Ninkos, of course, who didn't make the World Cup of Slot on account of the fact that they now make drones rather than slot cars.
Yeah. Yes, that would be cheating, wouldn't it, really, to enter a drone? But interesting that a Ninko is still competitive-ish. You know, that's a measure of how good those cars were back in the day. I dare say you're not going to win. Well, I've kind of got a theory. The good guys could win with the box it comes in, as I often see. So, you know, maybe.
They could possibly. When I did Y Valley earlier this year or the end of last year, whenever it was, I had a huge step up by... stop it. I had a huge step up by going to my old Ninko Subaru than whatever it was I was running in Modern before.
Well, there you go.
That's what I was running before, but it was on NAF tyres, whereas just a box standard Ninko, which I got the day before, took the magnet out and put it on the track, and off it went quite happily and finished far faster than my jazzy MSC one did.
Well, you mentioning that the sun is indeed shining, and that reminds me that last time I went to Abergavenny for the slot rally was in July, I think.
Uh-huh.
It was very sunny. It was a lovely, lovely day. Even I got leaving early in the sunshine. So we probably ought to, and Gareth Jex, not any of the ones you already mentioned, but Gareth Jex has said to me, next time we're going, he might come along and play, because, as you know, he gave up slot cars about 5 or 6 years ago. So it sounds like it's a reunion tour for the slot gypsies going to Abergavenny. So we'll have to plan that and hope for sunshine.
Awesome.
And find a suitable vehicle that we can go to, and possibly record a podcast whilst we're travelling along. Proper Channel 5 style. That would be good. Anyway, well done to everybody who went along, and I know there were some new people,
yes,
who took part for the first time. So I hope you had fun, and, you know, keep coming back unless you were completely hated it. I doubt that happened. Then keep coming back, because it's good fun. He says the man who hasn't entered a single round so far, but, you know, it's not a question of doing what I do. It's a question of enjoying yourself.
Yeah, well, that was all, you know, that was good. What was the what else have we? What else is new?
New. Well, I had a very, very enjoyable afternoon, which is not new as such, but we're talking about competition, and I know people like competition, and like they're going faster and faster. But there was four of us at friend David's track, and we basically spent 5 or 6 hours just running cars round, often just sort of in company, sort of tail chasing, to use the aircraft team, where we were kind of not really racing, we were just sort of jostling with each other. And as much as I'm a newly convert to the thrills and excitement of digital slot car racing, there is nothing quite like the thrill of seeing three or four slot cars all broadly line abreast, sort of barreling through the corners and changing direction. And the cars we were using were Revo slot saloons, so the Escort, the Opel, the Alpha, and of course the new Nissan, which I got to see up close. It's a very nice model, very nice body, the detail is lovely, looks, finish is superb. As with most recent, or most of those saloons anyway, it rides very low. So I think it doesn't look quite right. It's very, but that aside, they go very nicely. Not demon fast, but they were all roughly the same speed, and we had a great time. And it was a kind of just another reminder that having fun with toy cars is what it's all about. It's not necessarily about winning trophies or coming first, said Scott, having been back to Farnham on Wednesday, enthused on Tuesday. Oh, I'll make my 2024 debut at the club. And promptly got my Bahuki answer handed to me several times, but that's a different kind of thing. So that was fun. In terms of what's new news, though, I'm struggling to actually.
There really isn't much. There's a few new scale autos. Have you done any Bodget and Scarpers, repairs, fixes, done anything of that nature?
Oh, well, in my bumper order to Hobby Classic for the Lancia Deltas a couple of weeks ago, I put in new axles for Ski Lotto Porsche and a new chassis for a Fly Ferrari. Ooh. And I did the easy one first, which is putting the axles on the Ski Lotto Porsche, which worked. And the old one was kind of warped, bent, uneven to the tune that it didn't really go. So this one now leaps around like a joyful spring puppy, and that's made me very happy. I did tackle now the Ferrari, bit of a tale. Way back, I bought a bundle of, I'm going to get it wrong, was it Tony Secchi or John Secchi? One of them, anyway.
John Secchi, yes.
Pendle were selling off a whole load of their cars, and I bought about 11 or 12 of them. They were all covered in magnets, and once I'd taken the magnets off them, I got about half a dozen cars which were absolutely perfect and fine, and some which were a little bit of a Frankenstein's monster, because he seems to have had a habit of not only gluing magnets everywhere feasible, but also fitting ridiculously fast motors and making his own chassis, not necessarily using anything like a jig to make sure they were straight. Anyway, so this Ferrari, which had yellow sideways Lancia wheels on it, so it looked very pretty, but it had this dodgy chassis under it. So I thought, all I need to do is get a new chassis. So slowly peeled the whole thing apart, and of course, he cut away the body mounting posts and things. So although I can screw the body on at the front, there's nothing holding it on at the back. And worse than that, the Go Faster motor has a motor shaft which is too long, basically. So I can't just clip the axle in. So that's kind of where my cutting and shutting ends. I'm a bit of a Legoist on that one. I need to be able to just use predetermined bits, put them together, and it works. If I've got to start sanding stuff down or chiseling away at something, it's unlikely to happen. But it does, so it's sitting sans guide, sans motor, sans anything on the chassis and the yellow wheels, and it's looking very pretty. So even if it sits by the side of the track, it'll look lovely. So yeah, that's as much as, other than, as we were discussing on Tuesday, sort of pulling carpet fluff out of, have you ever done that? Have you bought a car at an eBay show or a swap meet, and you get it home and it runs okay, but it's a little bit sluggish, and you open it up and you're pulling bits of fluff and cat hair.
Yeah, dog hair and all that's just foul.
So.
Yeah, when I get back to it, there's quite a few outstanding jobs before I start to think about anything new, like the Noel Edmonds two-door Ford Cortina. I've drawn up the decals for it, need to print those off from the Pendle kit. I've got my last two sets of Porsche 956, 962 decals to pay for, but they've been drawn up, which is nice. So Mr. Mini Prince has done the job again, which will be Cyril van der Merwe in the last appearance of a Porsche 956, which he raced at Kyle Army in 86. And the Just 962, the new shape with without the Batmobile rear wing, the high rear wing instead. That one will be done as it appeared at Donington in 1989, when I were there wearing a bomber jacket.
Lovely. The car, not you in a bomber jacket.
The hair was it not great.
Was it big here? Was it mullet?
It was quite. Yeah, had height, width, and depth. Yeah.
And were you wearing a jacket with padded shoulders?
No. It had fur around the collar. It was a leather flying jacket, but it wasn't quite an Irvine. It was more of a Sunday Market flying jacket, if we're honest about it.
pictures of all of us in the '80s are not really very friendly, to be honest.
But at least we all look crap. That's what's so great about the '80s, is that we all look crap. Apart from Meg Ryan.
We didn't think so at the time. Was that before she had her lips artificially inflated?
Yes, this was probably when she was still in her 20s. This was a wonderful period of humanity.
Clearly had a deep effect on you, and I don't think it was necessarily the plot of the movie, was it? Let's be honest.
First time I saw my friend and I got Inner Space out from the video shop from the video library, and we watched it through, and then we rewound it to take it back, and then we thought, let's watch it again, because she's really cute. And we did. And it was a very funny film, too. So Inner Space, everyone, if you're looking for a bit of retro comedy.
Is that the one where, I can't think of his name, is shrunk down in a mini submarine and put inside somebody?
Yes, yes. So Dennis Quaid gets shrunk and put. He's supposed to go into a rabbit, and he goes into Martin Short. And humour ensues.
Anyway, back to slot cars. Last show, in the midst of talking about something else, you inspired me to think of something which was we have coined as a working title, Slot Car Stories with Nick. And I sort of envisaged a kind of tea time, you know, just before the news, that kind of calm everybody down, or maybe even bedtime, where, you know, a kind of gentle music fades away. We pan gently in on you to seen holding a, you know, in a chair with, you know, interesting memorabilia scattered around you.
Sounds like I should have a pipe.
And possibly. And you've got a slot car, and as you turn to the camera and you just say, you know, welcome, everyone. And, you know, and today, I'm going to tell you about. So, with that build-up, with that mental image, Nick, what are you going to tell us about today?
Well, I suppose all the slot cars I make are, they have a purpose. They are a specific car from a specific time. So I thought, well, having said that, I've got 60 slotted Porsche 956s and 962s. I should probably describe why I have one. I will hold this up to the camera for those on the tube of you. And you will see that it's quite an unexciting livery. It's just plain white, with the side panels that were metal in plain metal. And it's got Rothmans in very plain blue on it, because this is the car that was used for testing, chassis 001. In the winter of 1981 into early 1982. So it was the first 956 built, the first monocoque ever built by Porsche. And it was tested at Weissach. And then when it got too cold and snowy at Weissach, they took it down to Paul Ricard and ran the thing to death, making sure that it could cover the right amount of distance without braking and that everything worked and all the rest of it. And it's in a semi livery because the Rothmans deal was only done very late. It was a personal sponsorship, actually, of Jochen Maas, who had, there you go. He had gone to South Africa. He lived in South Africa, and, Rothmans is a South African company, and he got to meet the owners over a dinner somewhere in South Africa after he'd moved down there. And there were an awful lot of reasons why South African companies both couldn't or weren't particularly welcome to sponsor things internationally at the time politically. But Rothmans was also sort of British. So and there was a massive tax dodge. I think they got 80 cents back on the dollar for everything that they did for international marketing to promote South Africa. So Rothmans said, brilliant, and sponsored everything at that point, from rally cars to Porsche's team to getting Jochen Maas into Formula One with March.
Okay. So it begs to stop you there. I shouldn't do this. And you're the man who would know, if anyone knows, there's an alternative universe then, so it wouldn't have been the Rothmans 956. What livery would it have run? Would it have just been like a works white with bits on it livery, do you think? Or would they have had...
They had sponsors. Like there was the Jules car in 81 that won Le Mans. I think Rothmans came along with a huge check and paid for an awful lot of stuff. And the program was actually very limited in its funding. I mean, the 956 was basically everything out of the parts bin apart from the ground effect. And Jürgen Barth, who former driver, still drove for Porsche and others in period of Group C, but he didn't drive the Group C that often. He was actually in charge of the sales program for the privateers. And he when they were designing it, Norbert Singer sent him down to the museum to measure the windscreen of the Porsche 917 so that he could copy it for the 956, because he couldn't remember the dimensions. So he sent Jürgen Barth down there on a little errand with a tape measure.
Is a 956 literally the same shape windscreen as a 917 then? Or just the... It'd be amazing if they were...
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So this, you know, the plain white version came out. All the liveries for the Rothmans and later the Shell Dunlop cars were done by a British bloke called Rob Powell, who's still around and still does liveries for people. But he also used to do most of the customer liveries on cars as well. So like the Boss stripe and pinstripes, that was him, and literally masked off every single stripe. And he's got some really interesting photos. If you look around on social medias, he's on Instagram as himself, and he posts quite a lot on the Porsche 956, 962 pages on Facebook. And you can see him applying these now iconic paint jobs to the cars at the time.
Well, Slotik clearly need to take a lead from Fly and produce a not quite finished painted special edition, as Fly did with the Martini. Anyway, I have interrupted your flow because you were telling us about this car and why this car is special.
Yeah, well, why this car? Because it's number one. I mean, it then did the first race at Silverstone in May 82, where it won Group C but didn't win the race because it had to run relatively sedately compared to the Group 6 Lancias, which didn't have a maximum fuel allocation, so they could just tear off round and burn as much fuel as they wanted, whereas the Porsche was slightly limited. Then it was the spare car at Le Mans when the cars finished 1, 2, 3 and were the first team since Ford to finish sort of across the line together. So Ford in 66 and then Porsche in 82. And then that car went to the Norris Ring, and Jochen Maas won at the Norris Ring. And then the car was retired and it was shoved to the back of the workshop. And when Jackie Ickx retired at the end of 85, he was presented with chassis 001, which he had for many years. Sold it relatively recently to... And it was with a British collector for, I think he still got it, Mr. Eagle, Jaguars. Is it Eagle? E-type conversion man.
Oh, right, Eagle, sorry, yes, yes. I thought you were saying Igor, and I thought, no, I don't. I don't remember, because it was called Igor.
Henry Pierman has got this incredible collection of Group C cars, including Lanciers, Nimrods, Jaguars, yeah, he's got the one pucker provable history Jaguar Group C car, which is an XJR6, which raced at Le Mans once and never raced again. All the others are slightly questionable on their histories.
Race cars are, when you describe them as a car, I mean, they get disassembled and reassembled several times over the weekend, never mind in between races, don't they? So the chances of seeing, at best, you've got a chassis plate that did. I'm being cynical. At best, you've got a chassis plate.
Well, yes, I mean, there is that allegation has been suggested that certain manufacturers, teams, whatever, might have, you know, been invoicing manufacturers for half a dozen new cars every year and actually just changing the chassis plates on each one.
Yes, it would never happen. Never happen. So have you modelled, so this car, the one that you modelled, the prototype, so it then did another three or four things, so have you modelled its subsequent decorations?
No, I haven't done this one any other times. I don't think I will, because it didn't do that much, really. I mean, it's just number one, so I wanted it in pre-season shape. Mm-hmm. So it is as it looked when the Rothmans deal was done. They put some Rothmans branding on it, but it didn't have the whole setup with the stripes and everything because Rob hadn't been commissioned to do it. So it was literally to do a test at Paul Ricard with some Rothmans branding on.
Brilliant. There you go.
And yeah, if it were Fly, you could probably make six or seven different versions of it, clean and dirty. But I'll just stick with the one, thank you.
Sooner or later it'll happen. Oh, that's excellent. Well, you see, I think this is a ready-made format. The big improvement, of course, is me not interrupting you in the middle of it. But, you know.
And a pipe, possibly.
So as you finish the story, there's a sort of benign smile and the camera pans out. The lights fade, so we just see you silhouetted against some of your interesting memorabilia. And that's that. You know, come back next week when Nick's going to talk about ... to be established.
We'll see. In the comment section.
We'll see. The comment I'm going to make right now is that for listeners, if you do eventually get to hear this, some doubt as I speak, because the recording software has been acting up somewhat. So in the middle of Nick doing all of that, it acted up again. So I don't know if we've actually got it or not. Hopefully we have, and hopefully you're listening to this, because I don't think we can stand doing it again. In which case, I think unless you've got anything else that you desperately want to see looking forward, we might call a halt whilst the thing's still hanging together by a thread.
I shall go and start getting myself ready to go to the Isle of Man.
When is the dates of the Isle of Man?
Don't ask me the date. God's sake.
Well, I've already,
no idea.
I was very proactive. I sent the artwork for the events, which is very nice, by the way. And I have been told who did it, and I'm afraid I can't remember because brain like a sieve. Anyway, if you did them, it's lovely. And I've sent them through to Dave Kennedy. So they're now included in his Friday night news update of events and shows, which are predominantly American and Canadian, as you would imagine. But now we've got the Slot Rally GB ones because the artwork is really lovely for those things. So anyway, Isle of Man, probably a fairly limited audience at Isle of Man, but then there's another three rounds after that at Abergavenny, Farnham and
Worthing.
So
yes,
if you feel like joining in, it's not too late. And if your name's Graham, you definitely should join in because you're going to win. That's my take on the whole thing. Just remember, you've got to have an interesting stage name, and we'll go from there. All right, then. I'm going to stop babbling. We'll say thank you for listening. Thank you to Nick. And we'll see you all soon.
Take care, everyone. Bye.